If I, as a drummer, wanted to teach someone else how to be a drummer, but I don't practice and hone my skills and actually become a good drummer, I really have nothing to teach them. I can't really demonstrate what it's really like. And our Christian walk is that for our kids. They need to see that the theological things and the Bible-based truths that we are speaking to them have reality in a human life. So welcome back, friends. Carrie Green here.
And this is Mindy.
And we are happy that you're with us. And we're also very happy we have a new recording setup.
Yes, it feels great. We both have headphones on and microphones, and it's great.
Yeah, we're trying to be a little more high-quality professional here. But anyway, if you have feedback about how it sounds, I would love to hear that because I'm an audio producer and I would love to know what your experience is like. So feel free to email carrie@carriegreen.com. I would love to hear your encouragement or your snide remarks. It doesn't matter. Today, we want to talk with you about a situation that came up, actually two situations that recently came up in our life as parents of adult kids. We have five kids. They're all 20 years old or older at this point. And, you know, we did our best as parents when they were growing up to teach them the ways of the Lord, to model for them the ways of the Lord, to very carefully apply the things you've heard in this podcast from episode zero all the way till now.
And can I interject there?
Sure.
You said we did our best. I want to rephrase that. We did our best to seek the Lord to help us because our best is never good enough.
Amen.
And I think many times we as parents say, well, I did my best and now it's in my kids' court to be responsible. Many times our best is flat out not a good thing. So we just need to say in our minds, we sought the Lord day by day.
Yeah. Point well taken.
Okay.
All right. Correction received and verified. That's good. And in what happened recently, Mindy was, as she often does, to her great credit, staying connected with the older kids, having a conversation, seeing how their hearts are, talking about various things. And two conversations back to back kind of brought up similar things that she wasn't expecting. So I'm going to let Mindy tell you the story of these two conversations she had, first beginning with the conversation she had with our son, who is our fourth child and is now 24 and is married.
He's our second son.
And our second son. So Mindy, tell us what happened in that conversation.
We were having a date, which I have with him about every other week or once a month, something like that. And it was just a home date. They actually live in the basement of our house. And so he just came upstairs and we had dinner together and we're talking.
By the way, let me interject something there. This is not the son who won't leave home lives in your basement sort of scenario. Like I said, he's married and it's really a cool little two bedroom apartment we found in this house and it fits their needs perfectly. So it was a way for them to save money and us to save money.
Yes, so, it's a great setup. So I was just talking to him. We had gone through a study with he and his wife and some other young couples about learning our flesh patterns that we develop as we're young. And when we become adults, we realize we're struggling with these sinful flesh patterns that trip us up. And I was sharing with him that I have been learning some new things as a result of that study. And I was curious to know what kinds of new things he had discovered. And so he started telling me some things he was realizing in his growing up years that were related to me and what I had done. That funny thing is that it was as a result of my flesh. I was treating him in a way that was hurtful to him and actually was developing flesh patterns in him. So I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but many times when we are wrong or sinful towards one person, it develops, say, insecurities in their heart, and then they grow up feeling insecure. And so I've understood that whole pattern. I've known that's happened to me in my life, how my parents caused me to feel insecure about things. And my whole prayer as I've been raising my kids is, Lord, help me not to hurt my kids and cause them to feel insecure or fearful about things because of something wrong I did. And here our son is telling me some flesh patterns and mindsets he realized he had based on things that I had done.
And how did that feel to your mother's heart?
It was breaking my heart, and I was actually crying. I was telling him, I'm so sorry, Caleb. I understand exactly why you're saying that, and I am so sorry that my flesh caused your flesh to grow.
Yeah, and let's pause here for a moment. I just want to acknowledge the reality of this kind of thing for parents. I mean, you may hear us talk here on the podcast, and it sounds perhaps like we have it all together, this and that, but you know, we all as parents are seeking the Lord's help, as Mindy said earlier, doing the best with his wisdom and his ability that he leads us to do. And yet we make mistakes. We are not perfect in our parenting, and we can't make it our goal to be perfect in our parenting so that our kids turn out a certain way, because that's not a realistic goal. Even Jesus had earthly parents who made mistakes, you know, and so we need to just kind of lower that bar a bit. Not that we want to compromise on what we teach and how we teach it and all that, but we just need to give ourselves a break sometimes and recognize all of our efforts, as good as they might be. And truly, I think as parents, we did a good job. We followed what we believed the Lord would tell us, but we still had issues like this.
Yeah. And I think a good way to think of giving yourself a break is doing exactly what God commanded us to do. To be still and know that he is God. So when you're uptight about things and you have all that pressure on yourself as a parent, God is saying, be still, be at peace in my presence and know me, know what I can do in helping you be a good parent and be the kind of parent I want you to be. And so we do need to do that. We need to be still before the Lord and not continue to beat ourselves up when we're not doing things exactly how we want to.
Or when we discover it after the fact, like you did.
Right, right.
Yeah, because you could have gone into an emotional tizzy and had a funky next 2 months, just so depressed that you had caused your son this harm.
Yeah, thinking all has failed.
Yeah.
But part of what we were talking about was a good habit that we had developed as parents in having talking times with our kids. And I know we've probably even talked about it on our podcast, that it's good to have regular conversations with your kids to help draw them out and to know what they're thinking, what they're feeling. And our son was talking to me about a period of time when I was doing that regularly, and it was his probably junior high teen years. And partly because of where he was as a teenager and also being a boy, he's not into a lot of communication. He's more into his Legos, video games, talking with friends, you know, whatever it was he was wanting to do. When I would come into his room and ask, you know, can we talk? I just want to know how you're doing. For him, that was more a, oh no, I don't really know. I mean, I'm fine. You know, I'm a guy. I'm fine.
They didn't have the felt need for the communication.
Right, right. So at times it was a pressure to him. He wouldn't really think a whole lot about how it really am I doing. He'd just tell me, I'm fine.
So that he could get through with the conversation.
Right. And yeah. Go on to what he was wanting to do. And so on my end, where I realized what the Lord was showing me in this present time is part of me feeling like I am a good mom is me having good conversations with their kids. If they open up their heart, even if they cry, I know we've probably told you, if someone cried, it's a success.
Yeah, that's a joke in our family.
Yeah. And so that's partly what I would feel if they're opening up and really sharing their heart. That was a successful conversation. I got to their heart. Things are good. And so I remember at times during our son's teen years, feeling a little frustration, thinking I didn't get to his heart. I don't really know what he's thinking and feeling. And so that was flaring up my insecurities, my flesh of feeling insecure. And I know I was out of balance at times. I was probably pushing him too much to communicate. And our son is like, I'm fine, let me go play, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So let me kind of encapsulate that for a moment to make sure people are understanding the sequence, this dynamic that you're talking about. Your insecurities and fears that maybe your son's heart is getting away from you and you don't know where he's at and that that would reflect on you that you're a bad mom, was compelling you to have these conversations regularly. Not a bad thing to have the conversations regularly. It's just your motive was a little bit skewed. You wanted to do a good thing, but for a bad reason in a way.
And my motive, I'm sure, caused me to be out of balance.
Okay. Okay, great. That's a good qualifier there. But then in our son's side of the equation, that's creating in him this desire to not really be open because he doesn't want to have to go through all that because he really doesn't recognize what's going on in his own heart, maybe, or that he needs it, or whatever.
And maybe for a guy in his personality, he's like, I don't want to talk about all these emotional deep things. I just want to get on with the day and the task. And so in my conversation I had with my son, he was apologizing to me for not being open, but he was communicating to me why that happened. And so I was apologizing to him for my imbalance. And I was so glad to understand that about him. But I just want to pause. The fact that we even had this conversation, the fact that he even opened up and told me all these things at age 24. And by the way, he was holding my hand across the table and being very kind and sweet about it. I believe he did it that way because that's how our family was. We communicated openly. And even though he pushed against it during those teen years, because I was too intense about it, he was comfortable with that whole setup. So that's a good thing for you parents who are listening. Even though we're going to be out of balance in our good systems and routines and different things we do to train our children, in the long run, God is going to use it for good. He's going to work all things together for good. And I praise the Lord for that.
That's good.
So in the conversation, I kind of the way it was wrapping up, I just was asking our son, so why did you not rebel? Why did you not resist or push against my pushing stronger? Why are you a young man who fears the Lord and obeys him right to this day? Because there's a lot more to our conversation, but I was just a little bit amazed at what he said and thinking, well, he could have easily have just, as a teenager especially, just pushed away. And he said, first of all, most importantly, because God was faithful in my life. But secondly, and this is what really got to me, he said it's because of you and Dad's godly example and how you lived your lives, just personally. I saw that example my whole life, and that's what kept me on track and showed me how I should live. And when he said that, it just really hit me. I felt like the Lord was saying, see, Mindy, this whole parenting thing, yes, it has to do with practical things you do to train your children, but more importantly, it has to do with your relationship with me. Because you're going to mess up and you're going to do things that you had no idea caused damage to your kids.
Or not do things you should do.
Right.
Like neglect the relationship.
Exactly. And so your relationship with me, your walk with me personally and living it out in front of your kids, there's nothing more important than being a good parent. That is why I wanted to share with you that thing that happened with me. I mean, here he's an adult son, he's married, and this thing he shared with me that happened when we were raising him, I had no idea. It threw me for a loop, and the enemy was tempting me to make me feel like I had failed. And why am I even telling these parents who are listening on the podcast practical ideas of way how to do things? And the Lord was just very faithful to just get right in there and say, yes, practical things are good, but this is foundational and you have to have this. So that is my encouragement to you parents out there. If your walk with the Lord is not strong, if that is not first priority above anything else, that's where you need to begin to start being godly parents, to continue to be godly parents, and to correct things that you need to be correcting with your older children, whatever stage you're at.
I think an example of that, that we all can probably relate to, for me, it's going to come from the realm of music because I'm a musician and I love music, but this could equally happen in sports, in cooking, in anything, is if I, as a drummer, wanted to teach someone else how to be a drummer, but I don't practice and hone my skills and actually become a good drummer, I really have nothing to teach them. I can teach them maybe a few basic principles that I know in my head, but can't carry out with my hands and my feet at the drum set, but I can't really demonstrate what it's really like.
Right. That's so good.
And our Christian walk is that for our kids. They need to see that the theological things and the Bible-based truths that we are speaking to them have reality in a human life and can actually work. They need to see God show up in your life. That's what they need to see. And that only happens as you obediently follow him with his gracious help.
Amen. With his gracious help, it is his faithfulness in our lives. And we need to realize that it's God working in us as the mom or the dad, not God working it through your church as pastor, youth group leader, Christian school teacher. God definitely works through those people in your children's lives, but it's a small percentage.
Yeah.
And those people are not going to help your children as well as you can help them. And not to say that there's many testimonies of children who had a hard home life and the youth pastor is the one who discipled them and brought them along. Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
But we all know the struggles that we go through with our parents, the hurts that our parents give us, the bad examples that they are. As adults, we realize, I'm doing the same things my parents did. Help me, God, to get out of this bad habit.
The point we're making here is that the only guarantee that you have as a parent is God's faithfulness. In this scenario that Mindy's just described with Caleb and what he said, God's faithfulness will show itself through your life as you're obedient. We can't expect that God's faithfulness is going to appear out of a vacuum in which we're just oblivious to what he wants or indifferent toward it. He proves his faithfulness to those who fear him. And so that's really the point of the story. Now, there was another scenario that Mindy had just a few days later, right? Or was it the next day?
No, it was a few days later.
A few days later with our middle daughter, who is our second daughter out of three. And she is 26.
Right.
And they were having a similar kind of a conversation. So why don't you tell us about that one?
We were driving in the car to California. We were helping her to move there. And so we were having a good long time together. And it was a sweet time. And just like our son, he was being very sweet. And there wasn't an upsetness or bitterness or anything in our conversation. But she was sharing with me once again about her flesh patterns and insecurities that she is aware of that she deals with on a regular basis. And I was encouraging her in that. And this was a common conversation. You know, we've talked about these things her whole life. But in this conversation, she brought up something that happened when she was old enough to learn to read. And we homeschooled our kids for most of their schooling years. And so here it was her time for me to teach her to read. And there was just a weird dynamic going on. I think I was struggling with some things relating to my parents at that time.
That were pretty debilitating, just to be honest.
Right. It was a very hard time emotionally for me. She was a little bit different of a setup of teaching than my first two were. So
different style of learning, different personality.
Right.
Different way she even thought.
Yeah.
Just as a person.
Yeah. None of it was bad. It was just different. It was hard. And I found myself getting frustrated and irritated and bothered many times during our lessons, and at times yelling at her and angry. And every single time I apologized and I was so sorry, and I would hug her and I would tell her there's nothing wrong with her. And I was broken. I hated hurting her that way. I hated that frustration.
And you were taking the right steps. You're trying to rectify the problem as soon as it happened. Or if you realized it afterward, you'd come back and apologize right. and try and make it right.
Right. Because I didn't want to hurt her little heart.
Yeah.
And I would be talking with you about this as it's going on and just saying it was another hard day. And eventually I just told you, I said, I need you to teach her to read because I don't want to hurt her anymore. I hate this. I said, this is not good for this negative thing to keep on going on, even though I'm apologizing. Can you please teach her to read? And so you gladly took it up and did a great job and she learned to read really well. So in that scenario, when Carrie switched over to starting to teach our daughter to read, we sat down with her to explain why we're changing things up. And I was honest with her, telling her, this is hard for me and I don't know why. I'm having a hard time in my feelings and I love you so much and I don't want to hurt you because when I yell at you, I'm wrong and Jesus doesn't like that and I'm so sorry. And do you understand? And so we had as much of an open conversation as we could with a little 5 or 6 year old girl to clearly, you know, do you understand, Madeline? There's nothing wrong with you. It was mommy who did the wrong. You know, Jesus was sad at mommy. He's not sad at you. All kinds of things we would try to say to her in this conversation. And it was a good, sweet conversation. So great. We go about our day. We go about our years and raising our kids. And
she's 26 years old and you're in the car with her and
she's bringing up. And here I'm thinking that was a good thing. I would have told any parent who's asking me, what do you do when you made a mistake? And I would say, well, this is what you do. You go through these steps and it's wonderful, you know. But as a result of that, of my hurting her, even though I confessed to her, it developed an insecurity and mindset in her. I'm sure other things were used in life that enforced that, along with just the fact that the enemy tells her lies and it builds. So she was bringing that up. And once again, I was broken and I was crying and I was just telling her, Madeline, I am so, so very sorry. And she was very sweet. And of course, she forgave me. I mean, it was a good conversation. But in that, the Lord was so faithful just to remind me. He put me back in the humble position that I need to be in, that we all need to be in as believers. And just reminded me that, look, Mindy, even here in this situation where you were so sure it went so well and how to handle these kinds of problems, look what happened. Some hurts developed in your daughter's heart that you thought the forgiveness and then that the apologies would have erased, but they didn't. This is the effect of sin in our world. This is what happens. And so how are you going to think about this, Mindy? You know, and so I'm having this little conversation with the Lord and I'm realizing he's wanting me to learn and to see how much of a guarantee his faithfulness is, not my actions, not my humble repentance towards my kids.
And not your perfect parenting.
Right. Quote unquote,
yeah.
Not my perfect parenting. And so the Lord was just saying, Mindy, I was faithful to her. I was faithful to your prayers that you have prayed for your children all these years. I was just faithful. And you can rest in that. Mm. You can have peace in that. Not this confidence that slowly builds as you realize, oh, look, I'm training my children well. And look how well behaved they are. Because God's going to throw in the wrench here and there, and maybe you're not going to discover it.
Or you're going to throw in the wrench and not know it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll discover it when they're adults, or maybe when they're rebelling as a teen or something like that. So it was just a very eye-opening experience to me, and I was just so thankful to the Lord. Of course, I was hating that I had hurt my daughter's heart, and here she's struggling with something as a result of that, and in my mind, I determined that I would specifically try to encourage her in those ways going forward, which is a good thing, but I'm not going to depend on that to be the answer.
Yeah.
God is the answer for her. So I wanted to also share this experience with you because it was a scenario where I did right. I corrected my wrong in a right way.
And attempted to get to your daughter's heart in a way that would maybe not erase the the wrong, but mitigate the damage. You know, make it not such a big deal. If that, I mean, it's kind of a crass way to say it, but that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to help them heal from it faster.
Right. Right. We've got to realize the power of sin in our lives and the attacks of the enemy all throughout our lives. And God lives through us and leads us and guides us in wisdom as parents to love our children well. But he also allows the power of sin to do its damage for his glory and for the good of all of us in the end. And I know that with our daughter, she's growing and learning a lot about depending on the Lord, and she's fighting her flesh patterns and she's fighting her insecure thoughts. And she is really growing and doing a great job in the Lord's strength. We're very proud of her. And so we don't know all the reasons why God allows things, why he doesn't just heal it all perfectly when you correct it through repentance. He has so many wonderful plans for us each day of our lives. So in that, I just felt like God was saying, Mindy, you can trust my faithfulness. You stay in step with me. You keep obeying me, being faithful to pray for your children, being faithful to love them. And I will be faithful, and I'm going to work it all together for good in the end, for my glory and for your good.
Yeah. And some of the ways that was congealing in my mind as you were saying it is our obedient actions as parents or even just as Christ followers are not for the sake of fulfilling some kind of formulaic thing where this obedient action equals this result is going to come about. Our obedient actions are, you might say, for the sake of seeing how God in his faithfulness uses that to bring about glory to himself. And in this situation with our daughter, he used your obedient action to show you way after the fact that it's not about you. It's about him. And to show her that you have this hurt that still lingers in your heart, even though your mom tried to make it right. And you have to depend on me to overcome that. So there's God's glory happening all over the situation.
Yeah, it never stops. He's unsearchable, and we will always be learning. I thank the Lord for that.
Yes. And so as you listen to these stories, I hope that these are not a discouraging thing to you. Many times when we're in a desperate situation and we're listening to a podcast like this, we want to hear an answer that will help us fix a problem or help us alleviate a pain or something like that. And I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. But this episode hasn't been that. Not in those ways, anyway. This episode is more about encouraging you to lift your eyes and look to God, who is our only source of faithfulness. He's our only guarantee. And his will be worked out in ways we can't imagine, including pains like these that we never wanted to happen and yet happened anyway. And that's part of what defines him as God. He can take our mistakes. He can take even our sins, the gross sins we've done for years, and redeem them in a way and use them for good to bring glory to himself and to bring blessing to his people. Only God can do that. And so we shouldn't be so fearful that we didn't follow A, B, C, and therefore D is not going to happen. Get your eyes off D. Put your eyes on God and his ability to handle all of this.
I love that. And my encouragement to you parents is, I would just encourage you to right now, just take a big breath and just rest your soul before the Lord and be still and know that he is God. So what that looks like for me is I just take the big breath and I say, okay, Lord, am I right before you? Am I humble before you? Show me, lead me, guide me, speak to me. I will wait on you. I am completely dependent on you. That's what I hope these kinds of conversations that you are listening to help you to get better at, depending on him, resting in him. Because like Carrie has said, God's faithfulness is our only guarantee. and we want to allow him to flow his faithfulness through us as parents because we're surrendered and humbled to him.
Just felt like we needed a few seconds of silence there to let that settle in. It's our God who is the one who deserves all the glory and credit. We're thankful we get to say that over and over on these episodes. Well, friends, thanks for being with us this episode. We have all kinds of resources on the website at godfearingkids.com. You can go there. You can even ask your own questions. If you would like, scroll down the page a bit. There's a button you can click and speak into your device and let us know your question. We'd love to hear your lovely voice. And don't feel bad about if you think you stammer and stutter and all that. I can edit. It's not a big deal. We'll make you sound as sweet as you really are. All right, so join us for our next episode. Let me pray for us as we wrap up. Father, we're grateful for your wisdom and your amazing faithfulness that enables you to apply your wisdom and your knowledge and your love and your compassion and your justice and all of those things in just the right ways at just the right times to accomplish the very best outcome. Though we may not see how that's always true, we know it is true because the scripture says you do all things well. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves as parents. We feel the weight of the responsibility, but we know that it's really on your shoulders. And so we humble ourselves before you and say, Lord, use us. Guide us. Show us how to love and care for our children, how to point them to you, how to help them lift their eyes to you so that they see the glory that only you can bring. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name.
Friends, you can be an integral part of helping us spread the message of God-fearing kids and the parents who raise them by becoming a financial partner. Your monthly gift for as little as $5 a month can help us spread the word. And as our thank you gift to you, we'll subscribe you to our partners-only podcast called Digging Deeper to help you dig further into the Word of God.
That funny. It's got all these sound effects you can put in, and you can add your own and all that. Okay. You feel good about all mm-hmm. that? Okay.
So he was realizing to me how he.
Can you say it again? He was realizing to me.
So that is my encouragement to you kids. To you parents out there. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to be used by you and to just. Your servants, your children, to represent you and to teach and guide and encourage in the ways that you have for us in all the years that we've been raising our kids. And Lord, you know that we're only doing this because we think you want us to use us this way. And so we just ask that you will continue to give us your words that you want people who will be listening to hear. And we just humbly are your open vessels. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our life and for dying for us so that today we can obey the Father and give honor and glory to him today. In Jesus' name.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.